So we come to the third and last study in our present series. What are we to make of it when the dark times come? Remember the question, what will the love of God do for the believer now in this life? We know that because God is love, God will do us good by making us like Christ. We saw that last time. God will meet our need so we can attend the school of God where we will learn to be like Christ. But we will not long be in attendance at school before we learn that the curriculum requires the believer in his life, in this life, to experience both light and shade. And those times of shade can be exceeding dark at times. Why do we have difficulty seeing the dark times as coming from the hand of God for our good? When the dark times come, sometimes we reel under them, and we have difficulty seeing them coming from the hand of God for our good. Why is this? There are two reasons we need to consider. First of all, our human knowledge is limited. We feel that if God has good reason for allowing dark times to come upon us for our good, he should explain his ways so that we can understand why it's happening. Why it's happened and how it does us good. For we feel that if we understood, it would be easier to bear. But there is an error in this thinking. Let me illustrate. Here are parents with a young son, and the family moves to a new city, and it's very difficult for the young boy. He sees it as the worst possible thing, the worst suffering. He is certain he will never be happy again, that his parents hate him, that his life is at an end. However, such outrage by the boy does not mean that his parents have got it wrong, that the parents don't love him. For in fact, they made the move precisely for his benefit. They see the future benefit it will be for their son in the move, though their son can't see it. Now, at the time of the move, it would be on the ability of the boy to understand the logic behind it. So there would be no point in his parents trying to explain it to him then. But a day will come in the future when he will understand and be grateful for it. Now, what of God? If human parents act thus, why should we be surprised if God does the same? God's reasons for the dark days may be beyond our comprehension when they come upon us. But the time will come when we will understand it all. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. But a second reason why we may have difficulty seeing that the dark times come from the hand of God for our good is that our perspective may be flawed. Our knowledge is limited, but our perspective may be flawed. When the dark times come, we sometimes get so caught up with the present perspective that we forget that the present perspective is not the full picture. Let me illustrate. Imagine a group of aliens. They tap into a video feed from Earth, into a hospital delivery room, and they see a baby being born. As they watch, the doctors tell the woman to do things that make her scream in pain. When she can scream no more, they take a knife and cut into her stomach. Then they take the baby out and there's blood everywhere. And the mother cries out to hold the baby, but they take it up and run out of the room. Now, what would the aliens think about the doctors if they saw only those first moments of birth and life? Why, they would think the doctors to be utterly evil. For it would only be if they could see from another perspective altogether. Then they would realise that the doctors had cared for the woman very well, and perhaps saved the mother's life and the life of the baby. Now, what of us? From our present perspective, all we can see are the first moments of our existence. Literally the birthing process of all human history and existence. And from that perspective alone, we will always come up short. For if we try to find the full explanation of the dark times in this life alone, we will always come up short. For the dark times are only a fraction of our total existence. For we are all eternal beings. So, if at this present time, from this perspective, we can't make sense of the dark times, when real life comes, when eternal life begins, we will have full perspective. We will then understand how all that befell us in the dark times during the birthing process was for our good. We will make sense of it all then and see how what happened was exactly what we needed. We will see how it was for our good. We will see how it made us like Christ. What response, what should the response of the believer be then when the dark times come? Let's think how we might respond. First of all, we might rebel. When the dark times come, the believer may rebel. He may refuse to learn the lesson that the dark times have been sent to teach him. The Hebrew writer identifies this possibility when he says in Hebrews 12, chastening yields righteousness, but only to those who have been exercised thereby. Acknowledging, therefore, that there is a possibility that though the dark times come, though the chastening comes, we may not be exercised thereby, for we might rebel. And in his rebellion, the believer might charge God with lack of care and concern. He might refuse to learn the lessons. He might refuse to allow the dark times to make him like Christ. Now, rebellion is a particularly sad response. For it doesn't prevent the discipline. It doesn't end the dark days. It just means that the experience of the dark days is wasted experience. That he has suffered for nothing. Another response is that the believer might demand immediate release. When the dark times come, an almost inevitable response is to ask that the experience be removed immediately, without delay. Now, to respond in this way is a sad mistake. God knows what is for our good. God knows what is best calculated to produce the ultimate good of Christ-likeness in us. And God blesses us with sending those things to us. God does us the honour of entrusting us with the dark days. Yet as soon as that which is for our good comes to us from the hand of God, because it brings with it the dark times, we immediately demand its removal. Rather than persevering with those dark times and allowing the dark times to do what they were sent by God to do, to work for our supreme good, to make us like Christ. How rash, how short-sighted we can be. Ah, but you might object. Paul asked for release 3 times from his thorn in the flesh. Yes, he did. So to ask for release is perfectly acceptable, so long as we subject our will to God's will. So long as we are willing to bow to the will of God, even if he refuses to remove the dark days, as was the case with Paul. So in asking for release, we must accept that God knows best. God knows that which will achieve our good, the good of Christlikeness. So we may say, Lord, if it is your will, remove the dark times. But if you see that they are for my good, I gladly accept that they should remain. So we've seen how the believer might respond. He might rebel. He might demand immediate release. But how ought he to respond? Well, let me ask a preliminary question. Knowing as you do now that the dark times come from the hand of God for your supreme good, to make you like Christ, would you ask God to remove the dark times if in so doing, for the sake of temporal ease and comfort, for the sake of ease during that first millisecond of human existence that is human life, you knew surely that the working of God in making me like Christ, would be hindered? Would you ask for the removal of the dark times if, as a result, you knew you would be eternally poorer? How would you respond? Surely, knowing as you do the alternatives, Christlikeness or temporary ease, you would cry, no, never, blessed Lord, leave the dark times, have your way in me, teach me your lessons, only make me like Christ. Paul gives his answer to the question, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians 4. He speaks of our light affliction, which is for the moment, and which works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. So when the dark times come, we know how we ought to respond. We ought to embrace the dark times as our greatest good from the hand of God to make us like Christ. But how will we be enabled to respond in that way? It's one thing to know how I ought to respond. It's quite another actually to respond in that way. When the dark times come then, how will I be enabled to respond wisely as I ought? Where does the wisdom, strength, fortitude come from? I must lean upon the grace of God. With one voice, the New Testament writers tell us that such wisdom and strength will be the possession of the man who leans on the grace of God. It was thus that Paul was reconciled to his thorn. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Lean on my grace. It was thus that John found strength to journey home. He ends the book of Revelation with this phrase, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. How are you going to walk through the dark times, John? I am going to walk through the dark times in the strength of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Hebrew writer, he found strength in difficult times. Listen to him. Draw near, he says, with boldness to the throne of grace. In the dark times, draw near to the throne of grace, that you may find grace to help in time of need. So I will find the strength and the wisdom and the fortitude to embrace the dark times by leaning on the grace of God. But what has the grace of God done? It's one thing to say we will depend upon or lean on the grace of God, but what is it that the grace of God has done for us? What makes that makes the dark times bearable? What has God's grace done? God didn't send the dark times and then stand back with folded arms to observe the suffering of his people in those dark times. The grace of God has sent the divine Son to walk through those dark times with us. And his experience of being truly human fits him to be there with us. He is truly human, so he knows the dark days from personal experience. He was tempted exactly like us. Indeed, he was tempted in ways we know nothing about, so he understands our temptation. He learned obedience through his suffering, so we can learn from him how to obey in the dark times, even when every fibre of our being rebels against that suffering. He knows what it means to have God refuse to answer his prayer, and he can sympathise when our prayers are met by a silent heaven. He was forsaken by God, so he knows what it is to feel abandoned by God, to feel totally forsaken and alone. He knew the reality of awful emotional and physical agony, so he understands when our hearts feel broken in two. There is no night so dark, no agony so deep, no hopelessness so abject, but that Christ has walked that path before us, knows the way, can take us by the hand and lead us through on solid ground. We will never be alone, not for an instant, for we lean on the grace of God. So in the dark times, put out your hand. It may not feel like it at that moment, but in his infinite grace, Christ will take your hand in his and never let go. If my greatest desire is to be like Christ, can I be surprised that I follow him also in the likeness of his suffering to some pale extent? If Christ walked through the savage darkness of Calvary, must I not walk through my own dark night, which is but a pale reflection of his? Since it is the way the Master went, should not the servant also tread that path? Amy Carmichael puts it into words which surely challenge and nerve the feeblest arm for fight. Listen to what she writes. Hast thou no scar? No hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by the archers, spent, leaned I against a tree to die, and rent by ravening beasts that compassed me, I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound? No scar? Yet as the Master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me, but thine are whole. Can he have followed far who has no wound? No scar? The dark times can mean glory. What will the love of God do for us as believers in this world in our daily living? It will do us the greatest good possible, for it will make us like Christ. And it guarantees to give us all we need to make our Christ-likeness a reality in our experience. Now, the experience of being changed into the image of Christ will of necessity involve the experience of both light and shade in the daily life of the believer. This we have seen. And yes, there will be without doubt dark days, days of pain and hardship. But in their way, even the dark days can be glorious. You may well object, how can dark days be glorious? Well, they can be glorious because of what they can mean for this present life on earth, and what they can mean also for the next life in glory. Let's think for a moment of the glory that the dark days can produce in this present life on earth. The dark days can be glorious in this life on earth for a number of reasons. Firstly, An understanding of the dark times can make sense of what seems to be senseless. Often things happen in the life of the believer which at the time make absolutely no sense whatsoever. Physical and mental illness, family disintegration, unemployment, singleness, treachery of friends. These things leave us as believers utterly broken, crying for understanding. We would have written the script very differently. We had big plans. Plans which we felt sure would please and glorify God, but it all went wrong. And now everything lies around us in utter ruin. And we cry to God for reason. Why has this happened? But God is silent. And in our hopelessness, we are tempted to give way to despair at the sheer senselessness of it all. But it does make sense. Our experiences in the dark times are not senseless. For whatever has happened, it is not simply senseless chance. It is not meaningless. It makes perfect sense. There is purpose and reason behind it, for it has come from the hand of a loving God. And it is working for our greatest good. For it is making us like Christ. The dark days teach us that we are being formed into the likeness of Christ. So when the dark days come, in all our hurt and confusion, we can trust the love of God. We can put our hand into His hand and allow Him to bring out of all the seeming chaos that which is for our greatest good, that which makes us like Christ. What hope and confidence such knowledge gives us. But secondly, the dark days can drive us to embrace an eternal perspective. When times are good, the living is easy, the path through life is smooth, we are tempted to get so taken up with the enjoyment of the good life that we lose sight of the eternal perspective. We lose sight even of God, perhaps. We can begin to live as if now is all that really matters, as if this life is all the life there is. And it's not until the dark times come that we are compelled to adopt an eternal perspective. For it is as the temporal world around us grows dark and threatening that the eternal world grows bright and inviting by comparison. It is as this present world around us ceases to make sense that we look to the eternal world for sense and meaning and hope. In the dark times, as we adopt an eternal perspective, we are enabled to make sense of it all. We begin to see that we needed the dark times. We understand that they were for our eternal good, that the dark times were indispensable for our becoming like Christ. So the eternal perspective is our salvation, for it helps us to live with our present suffering and distress. And while it doesn't remove the dark times, it enables us to live through them. It gives us a glimmer of light at the end of the dark tunnel. So the dark times can give glory in our present life on earth. But the dark times can also give glory in the life to come. For the dark times will make heaven, heaven. We have seen that the dark times are to make us like Christ, and that that Christ-likeness is what really matters, the only thing that really matters. And understanding that this is so will give us the ability to embrace the dark times, will give us the ability to invite them to do their necessary work. But no matter how we desire Christ to be formed in us, the job is never quite done. We are never quite the finished article. We are never quite like Christ. But when the believer leaves this natural world and opens his eyes in heaven, at that moment, he becomes completely like Christ, perfectly in Christ's image. And it will be the measure in which he embraced the dark times on earth, the measure in which he genuinely sought to be like Christ on earth, that will determine his rapture, his rejoicing, when he awakes in glory and realizes that the work is done at last. If I have embraced the dark times, if I have lived through those dark times in the anticipation of being made like Christ, then when in heaven the work is done, my glory will be complete. So the dark times can bring glory in the life to come, for they will make heaven heaven. But they will also give glory in the life to come, for it is the path that runs through the dark times that leads eventually to our eternal reward. James says it in his first chapter, "Blessed is the man who endures trials. Blessed is the man who lives through the dark times. For when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life." Yes, it is true that the dark times can lead the believer into hardship, suffering, even death. But it is those same dark times that can lead him to eternal reward and the crown of life. For to those who embrace the dark times, God promises the crown of life. Yes, on that heavenly morning, we will stand face to face with our blessed Lord, and he will place the crown of life on our brow. And in that glorious, wondrous moment, we will see at last that the way God led us through the dark times was the very path that led to our coronation. And all the experiences of the dark time will fall away in a moment to become a forgotten memory. The mocking, accusing, critical voices of earth will fall silent, as in that moment we hear his voice say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." The pain and the hurt of earth will be over, and we will feel the hand of Jesus taking ours and leading us into everlasting glory. And in that moment of glorious coronation, we will know that the dark times have been worth it all, a thousand times over. And so, may we live now in the dark times with that moment of coronation ever in view. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.